Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. In today's passage, Asaph was calling out to God in a time of trial. He was perplexed as to why the Lord was seemingly ignoring his prayers. Yet, he found comfort when he began to recall God's great and mighty works of the past. Our God does not change, but his ways are higher than ours, so he will not always answer in a time or a way that we might expect. Please open your Bible to Psalm 77 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study.
Psalm 77, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. Now that can read this way in the Hebrew. My hand was stretched out all night. The idea of crying out to God. But then he says, my soul refused to be comforted. Charles Spurgeon wrote this: it is impossible to comfort those who refuse to be comforted. Many a daughter of despondency has pushed aside the cup of gladness, and many a son of sorrows has hugged his change. We cannot and will not find rest until our soul rests in God. Obviously, the psalmist is going through a difficult time. He's crying out to God. He's lifting his heart out to him. And he says, and he hears me. I know he hears me. But there's a disconnect. And maybe as this psalm unfolds, you will begin to relate. Notice what he says in verse 3. I remembered God and was troubled. That's interesting. Wouldn't you think that if you remembered God, you would be encouraged? You would be strengthened? I remembered God and was troubled. Actually, the Hebrew word means distressed. I complained. Now, none of us here have ever done that. But the psalmist did. We have the non-complainers here tonight. I complained, and notice what happened when he complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. So he's praying. He's crying out to God. He refuses to be comforted. He remembers God. Now, obviously, the way he's remembering God isn't in a good context. He's troubled. He's distressed. And so now he is complaining and his spirit is overwhelmed. Now, give Asaph credit. He is crying out to God. He is praying. He sought the Lord in a time of trouble, just like God tells us to do. Yet he was overwhelmed and he could not find any comfort. He declares that he remembered God and was troubled or distressed. In other words, there seemed to be no relief, no end in sight. When Asaph said that he remembered God and was troubled, may I suggest to you that what he meant was that he was trying to figure God out. Or let me give you the Pastor Ray version here. Quote, God, you are not responding to my prayer as quickly as you should or in the way that I expected you to. You ever done that? And when we pray like that, you know what we're doing? We are praying direction prayers instead of direct prayers. God, you're simply not listening. I'm giving you some real good counsel here. I'm in a difficult time, and if you would just listen to what I'm saying, things would be better. Ever been at a place like that where you're praying, you're not comforted, you're overwhelmed, and you're beginning to question, God, where are you? A passage of scripture that is very helpful when you and I are going down that pathway is Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. You probably know it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Beloved, whenever you are troubled or distressed about what God is doing in a trial, remember that. I mean this sincerely, and I'm talking to myself. God's ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. Now, I don't know about you, but I am thankful that God's ways are not limited to my human ways. I'm thankful that God sees a bigger picture than I see. The infinite ways of God, I find often trouble me because I'm usually thinking of things from a temporal perspective when God is thinking of things from an eternal perspective. A couple of passages of scripture that really bring this out clearly in the New Testament is when Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And here's the key: "While we look not at the things which are seen." Now, that could be on the television, on internet, on your email, in your mailbox. We look not at the things which are seen. We don't ignore them, but we don't focus on them, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. What does the word temporal mean? Subject to change. But the things that are not seen are eternal. God is working in your life and in my life to conform us through the Holy Spirit into the image of Jesus Christ. And His work is with an eternal purpose in mind, not a temporal one. Asaph is still wrestling. He says in verse 4, "Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak." So now he's losing sleep. He couldn't even talk about his predicament. He's speechless. He's overwhelmed. Can't talk. He can't sleep. He's got insomnia. But notice there's a little bit of a glimmer of hope, and this will turn around. He says in verse 5, "I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance." Now the Spirit of God is beginning to, okay, Asaph is overwhelmed. He's complaining. He's troubled. And he says, "I can't even talk." And God says, "Good, because I want to say something to you." Did you ever have a conversation with somebody and you know that they're not listening? They're just waiting. They are rehearsing their reply. Husbands and wives are really good at this. Elizabeth will say something to me and I'll be standing there with that deer in the headlights look. She goes, "What did I just say?" You just said that the Mets game and the Reds are playing at 7:10 tonight, didn't you? Oh, no. And many times, it's when we are still that the Spirit of God begins to work. Be still and know, the psalmist says, that He is God. Being quiet. You know, it's a wonderful thing when in the midst of a trial, the Spirit of God brings to memory a song. Ever happened to you? I think it's a gift from God. Most days, there's a song in my heart and in my head when I'm waking up. And I'm not talking about BC songs. I don't want to hear them. But just a song. a praise, a song of worship. But I wanted us to see here. Let's read verses 7 through 9. There's some beautiful biblical insight for you and I, because we've been here. We've been where Asaph has been. We've been thinking about God and said, you know, how did this happen? Why did this happen? And then what compounds the problem is that we begin to complain and we get overwhelmed and there's no comfort. And then we get quiet and listen. But notice verses 7 through 9, these questions. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah? You know, the questions posed here in verses 7 through 9, listen carefully, are typical lies that the enemy plants in our minds during difficult times. Oh, the Lord's forgotten about you. Forget about it. The days of favor are over. Mercy, you've exceeded the mercy limit. His promises, not good for you. He's not going to be gracious anymore. And boy, is he ticked off. That's how the enemy speaks. Especially when things are not going well. Pastor Chuck Smith said this in one of his teachings. Beware of thinking about God in a negative light. That's a trick of the enemy that will take you right to the bottom, to a very dark, hopeless place. Remember when everything happened to Job? A lot of terrible things happened to Job. Job's wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? And what did Job say? You speak like one of the foolish women. Shall we take good from the hand of the Lord and not bad as well? You know, the biblical answer to all of those questions in verses 7 through 9 is what? Absolutely not. Will the Lord cast off forever? Absolutely not. Will he be favorable no more? Absolutely not. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Absolutely not. Does his promise fail forevermore? Absolutely not. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Absolutely not. Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Absolutely not. You know what's happening here? The clay is on the potter's wheel, and the potter is shaping the clay. And he says after these questions, Selah. That's interesting. There's a pause. And so after raising the questions, the psalmist pauses and considers, and now the Spirit of God causes him to remember God in the right light. He says, and I said in verse 10, this is my infirmity. In other words, this is just a part of living on planet Earth. Isn't it amazing? We still get surprised when we have those valleys, as if this never happens to human beings. Then I said, this is my infirmity. Oh, I get it. This is something temporary. But then he says, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Beautiful. Things are turning around now. You see, many of the battles that we fight in spiritual warfare are battles in the mind. The mind is a minefield. It's a battlefield. And that's why we are told to cast down imaginations and strongholds that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. We are told to renew our mind with the Word of God. And verses 10 and 11 remind us of the value of meditating on the wondrous works of God. When it seems like God has forgotten us, it's time for us to remember his works. It's time to look at the scriptures and the history that God has had with his people and his marvelous displays of power and faithfulness. And if you journal, it's a wonderful thing to be able to look when you're in the valley at those, just look through your journal, your history with God. I have a box in my office. It's about this big. I've had it for years. And I put encouraging cards that people will send me, because I don't always get encouraging cards. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to go there and pick this up, pick up a card when I'm in Death Valley. And, you know, it's not edifying, so I'm not going to say it. So pick it up and go, okay, thank you, Lord. Notice in verse 12, I will meditate also of thy work and talk of thy doings. He's not meditating on the right thing in the early part of the psalm. He's thinking of God in a negative light. He's thinking that he's out to get him. He's wondering, where are you? Where are your mercies? When are you going to step in? And I've often said this. Have you ever had a problem sleeping at night? Or maybe you anticipated some kind of a test or something, and you just couldn't sleep. Ever been there? Ever? I just couldn't sleep at night. And I like to tell people, well, good. That proves that you know how to meditate. If you're overwhelmed, change the subject. Just change the subject. Open the Bible, read. Go to a quiet place and read. Or put on praise music. Don't stew in your complaints. Don't pressure cook those negative thoughts. They will steal, they'll steal your joy and your peace. I will meditate also of your work and talk of your doings. The importance of cultivating a God mindset. I want to have gospel-shaped thinking. I want you to have gospel-shaped thinking, because life isn't easy. Life is difficult. Life is filled with challenges. Life isn't always nice or fair, and the enemy will pound you and pound me with all of these anti-God thoughts. What's the use? But something wonderful happens when I talk to other people about the goodness of God, when I share with other people the riches of his word. And I found, and probably you have found this too, that when I share with others the reality of Jesus, my faith soars. Verse 13, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Now, we know that God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. But God did choose to manifest his presence in a sanctuary. And now the psalmist says, oh, I remember all that we sang, all that we learned when we were in the sanctuary. There is something so wonderful about doing what we're doing tonight. Now, God's ways are far beyond our ways, and he moves outside of these four walls. But there is something beautiful when the people of God come together. And I will tell you one concern that I have as a pastor with this whole COVID-19 thing. There is a great majority of people that are losing interest and a desire to get together for one reason or another, good, bad, but there's something special. Now, the book of Hebrews tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but we are to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. That word assembly speaks of a gathering. It's not me getting together with Jose or Fred and Paul and say, let's go to Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts and have some coffee and talk about the Lord. That's great. He's there, but that's not this. That's not gathering together. It's a completely different thing. That is sweet fellowship. That is important. Iron sharpening iron. But it's when we gather together that there is strength, that there is encouragement, that there's edification. And I don't know about you, but I love it when I'm able to go someplace. When my wife and I are on vacation, I just love having my Bible, going in and saying, okay, God, I'm just going to listen. And it's so wonderful to just hear what God has to say. Because when you are obedient, like you are tonight, to come, God will speak to you. I guarantee God will speak to you. He will give you something that you can lay hold on, that you can chew on, that you might say, you know what? I was just thinking about that or going through that. Or if not tomorrow, you go, ah, that's why the Bible study was last night. He always knows what you and I need. You are the God that does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people. You have with your arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Redeemed means rescued from trouble at someone else's expense. Does that sound familiar? We have been rescued from trouble because of Christ's expense. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. You know what that means? Don't try to figure me out. And isn't that our problem? Many times when we're praying and we're working through things, we want to figure God out. Many times he doesn't compute. Again, his ways and in our ways. I love what Romans 11:33 says. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. But here's the thing. The most important thing that we need to remember is the character of God. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Paul talks about praying and having a peace that passes understanding. And that means that I have to forego my right to understand, to have the peace that passes understanding. My peace does not come from understanding my circumstances. My peace comes from knowing that my times are in God's hands. You can't figure God's ways out. I love books that are written on the sovereignty of God. And the guy, the author, is telling me about God's ways that can't be figured out. I'm going to write a book, The Sovereignty of God, and it's going to be, You Can't Figure Out His Ways, and I'll sign it. Trust Him. That's it. You can't figure out His ways. And His ways are not our ways. His ways are so infinite. And yet He's faithful. You led, verse 20, your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And so in verses 16 through 20, it's a picture of the Lord coming to the Red Sea in a storm cloud to save Israel by judging Egypt. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Do you have a desire to go deeper into God's Word? On April 18th, Koinonia Fellowship will start a free 6-week course designed to equip students with skills to use free online resources for in-depth Bible study. With the guidance of an experienced instructor, students in this hands-on course will practice using these resources. Class size is limited, so you must register for this course at selahonradio.com or by contacting the church at 535-385-0450. Registrants will receive a course syllabus with all the important details. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.